You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. And what an eventful week it has been. As I mentioned last week when I announced how we were changing the format of the podcast and shifting to now be talking about current events from a biblical perspective, I mentioned that this podcast, even though we're talking about current events, is not about breaking news and reacting to whatever the hottest story of the day is, at least not necessarily. Last week, the day before the previous episode was released, the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. was stormed by protesters. And we didn't mention it in the episode. And the reason for that is because, number one, everyone heard about that. And this podcast is not intended to be where you hear the latest breaking news. But also the other reason why we didn't talk about it is because I think every reasonable person recognizes that those who participated in that were wrong. Those who rioted, those who stormed the Capitol building, they were wrong. I think every reasonable person understands that. Most of the time, the stories we're going to be discussing on the podcast are ones that you may not have heard from larger news outlets. And as we talk about those things, we're going to bring those to light and discuss them from, you know, from the scriptures and bring out some points that we need to understand and remember. But the first two stories we're going to talk about today are ones that everyone is talking about. And we're not doing that simply because we want to follow along with what everyone is saying, but it's because I believe that they have an important impact, especially potentially moving forward, on our lives as Christians and where we may be headed. So we're going to talk about a couple of those stories that are related to the, or that really occurred in the aftermath of what happened last week. So here's the news that we're going to be discussing this week. First story is Twitter announced a permanent suspension of the president's account. According to the Twitter blog, they said after close review of recent tweets from the real Donald Trump's account and the context around them, specifically how they are being received and interpreted on and off Twitter, we have permanently suspended the account due to the risk of further incitement of violence. Now, I'm going to assume you've already heard about that, that you've already heard about how the president and his Twitter account has been taken down and he no longer has access to that platform. And many people have decried this as an attack on free speech. But the reality, while I understand why people would think that and would assume that, the reality is that those who operate a website, whether it's the Plain Bible Teaching website, or a social media site like Twitter, those who operate a website have the right to choose to block or remove any content or content producer that they choose, even if they're inconsistent about that. Because a lot of people will point out and say, well, that they took him down, they banned him from the service, but there are other people who are also doing these other things, and they didn't ban them. Are they inconsistent? You can probably find examples to show that they are inconsistent, but they have a right to be inconsistent. They have a right to allow or not allow anything that they want to have on their site. What I want us to think about, what I want us to remember, is that when we use social media, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or anything else, we are agreeing to abide by their rules, or if we don't, live with consequences. Now, that does not mean that we, as we use these sites and we interact on them and we make comments or share things, that doesn't mean we compromise our faith or that we compromise the truth. We are not to do that. But it does mean that we can be banned for posting about our faith or the truth or anything else that is deemed to be, quote, inappropriate by the site owners. That's just a reality. They have the right to do it. It may be wrong. You may not agree with it. They may be inconsistent, but they have the right to do that. And so if we're going to use social media, and I do believe that there is good that can be done in using social media, if we're going to use it, we ought to use it for good, which means for spreading the gospel, encouraging others in what is right, and building relationships as a supplement to the relationships that we have and how we build those in real life or in person, that we have to use that in the right way. But if we're going to use social media, we need to understand that if we do anything, good or bad, that is not approved by those who own the site, we can be kicked off of that site. We can be limited in what we're able to do on that site. And so here's the point, again, not for us to compromise the truth or to compromise our faith, but if we're going to be banned from social media for any reason, it better be for a good reason. Otherwise, if we're just, you know, arguing about things that don't matter, and through that, because we are seen as a bully or abusive or too many people reports, whatever it is, if we get kicked off of some social media platform because of that, because we're arguing about things that don't matter, what we are also doing is forfeiting our chance to be a positive influence over others and doing that for something that really doesn't matter. Now, if it's standing for the truth, if it's trying to lead people to Christ, and that gets us kicked off, well, at least we were trying to do what we ought to be doing as Christians. But if we're going to be banned from social media, which that can happen, you know, these sites have a right to do that. It's their site. They can allow or not allow anyone on those sites. If we're going to be banned from those sites, let's make sure it's for a good reason and not a frivolous reason. In the show notes, I have a link to a couple different articles. One is an article that I wrote on social media, part of the series that I wrote on social issues. And that is also part of a book that I put together not too long ago on that topic, on social issues. You can check out that article on social media in the show notes. I also included another article that is, part of it is related to this. Actually, it's a sermon outline called Cursing Kings in Your Bedroom, a verse from the book of Ecclesiastes. Reminder that I wanted to, why I included that in here. It's because the verse that talks about that is making the point that the things that we say in private can often become public, even though we don't want them to. And that's one of the things we need to remember about social media and why sometimes we get in trouble on social media, because we act as though this is private when everything that we do is in the public. I slipped earlier. I don't know if anyone caught it or not, but I slipped earlier in the lesson and almost corrected myself then, but I didn't. But I made a statement to the effect that social media is different from real life. Social media is different from in-person connections. But I think we need to get away from thinking that social media is not real life. Because when we use social media, when we interact on there, we are interacting with real people. And so the rules and principles that are found in Scripture as far as how we interact with others, those are going to govern or ought to govern how we interact with them on social media. How we treat others in person should be the same way we would treat them on social media. How we conduct ourselves be the same thing. So you can check out those articles in the show notes. The second one is related to that. What happened after all of the events of last week? There's another story that Amazon suspends social media site Parler from its cloud hosting services. From the news site Discern, it says, social media platform Parler, often used by Republicans and conservatives as an alternative to Twitter, went dark early Monday after Amazon Web Services suspended the site's cloud hosting service. The suspension followed riots Wednesday at the U.S. Capitol building. Now, to me, if Twitter's going to ban the president, you know, I may agree with that or not agree with that, but to me, that doesn't seem as big of a deal. That's not, in my mind, an attack on free speech. It's their right to do whatever they want to do on their platform because it's their site. To me, this seems like a bigger deal because what you have is that a means of communication can be taken away just like that. And this is not, well, we're going to silence the, you know, extremists who may be posting things on the site. We're just going to silence the site. We're just going to take the site down. That was Amazon's decision. Parler was using their hosting services, and they just decided we're just going to shut the site down. Regardless of what you think of Parler, and just as full disclosure, I have an account on Parler, or at least I did before this happened, but I really haven't spent hardly any time at all on the site. So any of the inflammatory or whatever comments that were on there, I haven't seen anything like that. So I can't say one way or another that, you know, that these things are good or bad or anything like that. But regardless of what you think of Parler, the reason why I want us to consider this now is because this shows how easy it is for your website, whether it's a social media site like Parler or your church's website or anything like that, how easy it is for that to be taken down and for your ability to communicate digitally to be stopped. If we enter a period in which the church or Christians are more targeted, are persecuted, targeted for teaching things that don't line up with the approved doctrines of our society, such as abortion and homosexuality and transgenderism and all things like that, what this shows us is that our ability to communicate these truths digitally or to communicate with one another in general could be severely curtailed or eliminated entirely just like that. That could be taken away. Now, how likely would that happen? Would it be that that would happen? Who knows? But what if it did happen? How would we teach? How would we encourage others? How would we go about that if those things were taken away? Well, there's two ways that we could do that. Number one is in person through our local church assemblies, which are still going to be important, pandemic or no pandemic. We need contact with people. Local church assemblies, personal evangelism. We have direct contact with people. If we can't talk to them on social media, we can still talk to people. And then also the second way we could continue to teach and encourage others is in print. We need physical copies of the Bible and not just think that, well, we have it on our phone. Well, what if we enter a period of persecution and then that, all that's taken down and you can't get that? In print Bibles, tracts, books. Now, is this takedown of Parler an isolated incident? Maybe. Maybe you think that it is, and maybe you're right. Even if it is an isolated incident, there's no harm in being ready to utilize other avenues to teach and encourage and communicate with others to reach the lost other than the digital world. Because again, why this story is important is because it shows that these can be taken away very quickly. So I've included some links in the show notes that go more into detail on these type of topics about the importance of the assembly, how we need to be going about personal evangelism, and also the importance of writing and the written word. We've come to rely very quickly on digital technology, and it's very useful and very helpful as long as we have it. But there is value in writing and there is value in print. And we need to not forget that. And we need to at least be thinking about, well, what if these things were taken away, whether it's because of, you know, a site's taken down or persecution or even just some natural disaster. And we just, the digital space is gone. How will we continue to communicate? It's something for us to think about. Now for something completely different. Third story that we're going to be talking about, an archaeological discovery. Herod's dance floor where John the Baptist was condemned to death may have been discovered. From Live Science, it says, archaeologists claim that they have identified the deadly dance floor where John the Baptist, a preacher who foretold the coming of Jesus, was sentenced to death around AD 29. Now, the Bible explains that John had been arrested, and he had condemned Herod's marriage to Herodias, who was his brother Philip's wife, and he was later executed for that. That account is found in Mark chapter 6, verses 17 through 28. For the sake of time, we're not going to go through that. I do have a couple of links in the show notes that are related to this, but when we think about the example of John the Baptist, we learn a lesson from him about the importance of speaking the truth, even when it's unpopular, which is kind of related to what we've already talked about, that we may be headed toward more hostility toward the truth and toward anything that would be opposed to our secular worldview that is growing up all around us. We need to speak the truth even when it's unpopular, but it's also a reminder of God's marriage law. The scriptures teach that what John was saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And he said that even though Herod had married her. Herod was married to her, but John said, she is still your brother's wife. There's a lesson there about the marriage bond, about the permanency of marriage, despite what man recognizes, even what civil law recognizes. There's a difference between those things. So there's a couple links in the show notes that go into that in more detail, more than we can get into here. Both of these, or the first one really is about this event with John, an article titled Marrying Another Man's Wife. And then there's a longer article that deals with the entire topic more in depth about God's marriage law. So while it's interesting to think that this dance floor where Herodias' daughter danced for Herod and then he made this foolish promise and then had to keep his promise and had John the Baptist beheaded, may have been discovered. We don't know for certain if that's what this was, but it's interesting to think that could be what they have found. But it's more than just an interesting fact or archaeological discovery. It's a reminder that we need to look to John the Baptist and his boldness, his willingness to speak the truth, and a reminder of God's marriage law, the law that he made that governs marriage, is not amended by man's law, or is not changed by man's law. God's law supersedes that in marriage or anything else. God's law trumps man's law. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative. And even though we've talked about some things that may not be fun to talk about, I hope that something has been encouraging here for you. For links to the news stories cited, as well as other relevant links, you can visit the show notes for this episode. PlainBibleTeaching.com/podcast is where you'll find all of the episodes. And this one can be found at PlainBibleTeaching.com/podcast/011421. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this episode or who would benefit from this discussion, please share this with them. Also, if you see a news story that you think might be good for our discussion here, you can email that link to me, andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening. I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.